For our study, invite your attention, first of all, to a passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there, verse 15. Paul tells Timothy, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And your translation renders that handling aright the word of truth. That's what I want us to think about in our study this morning. Handling aright the word of truth. Whether we understand the Bible or not is determined to a great degree by our motives as we approach our study of the Bible. We may indeed respect the Bible as sufficient. We may reject human creeds and yet still be wrong in our understanding of the Word of God. If you'll remember in Matthew chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, the devil himself quoted Scripture. When he was tempting our Lord there in the garden, he said, if thou be the son of, or rather, out in the wilderness, Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil came to him. Thou be the son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. The devil quoted Scripture to Jesus. It's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil quoting Scripture regarding Jesus, what was spoken about him. And then Jesus answered with Scripture. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And as Apostle Paul mentioned over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, that the devil transformed himself into an angel of light. He says, no mystery that his ministers transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. And so we just have to understand that the devil is at work trying to deceive. And Peter said he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil and his ministers are very deceptive. They misapply and they pervert Scripture, just like the devil did with Jesus. He misapplied, perverted God's word that God had spoken to Adam and Eve. He asked the question, yea, if God said, thou shalt surely die. That's what God said. But the woman said, yes, that's what he said. Then the devil said, you shall not surely die. He directly contradicted what God had said. And so what we must do is rid ourselves of improper motives and attitudes as we study and we meditate on God's word, or we become susceptible to false teachers. If we do not realize that there are false teachers, Jesus himself said, there shall be false teachers among you, who proudly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Even as there were false prophets among the people, there always have been, there always will be false teachers. So we have to be careful. The results that we attain in study are determined primarily by our desire for truth and our willingness to learn. Involved in this also is the need for reverence and respect for God's will and our recognition of our need for that which God and God alone can supply. You remember, God is the creator. We are the creature. We are the created being. And so we have to be very careful and make sure that we recognize our need for what only God can supply. And so as we think about handling aright the word of truth, I want you to think first of all about the idea that we need to give the word of God a fair hearing. We need to study all that the Bible says on any given subject. We just must understand the truth doesn't contradict itself. So without hearing all testimony, we can form incorrect conclusion. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that passage teach that the only thing that there is needed is to simply have faith in Jesus Christ, and we're going to be saved? We read from John chapter 12, verse 42, there's some among the chief rulers who believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There were people there that believed on Jesus, but they refused to confess him. In James chapter 2, verse 19, says, the devils believe and tremble. We understand then that faith alone, and James deals with this extensively, that faith by itself is not sufficient. He says faith without works is dead, being alone. Saving faith is obedient faith. You can read James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. And so we need to remember that we need to take all of what the Scripture says on any given subject before we know what God's will is. As we study the Scripture, we don't study just to justify ourselves. It's not a sign of weakness to admit I was wrong. I say that quite frequently. I was wrong. We need to search for truth. And our search for truth should not be just to prove I'm not wrong. Our search for truth should be to find out what God's will for me is. Jesus questioned people from this motive in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. He said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Just because it seemed right to me. Remember, Proverbs said, there's a way that seemeth right in a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Just because it seems like it ought to be the thing to do, doesn't necessarily mean that it is. And so we need to be careful that we're not just trying to justify ourselves. Someone says a blind man doesn't test the ground over which he has already walked. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
When we have already determined what God's will is for us and we submit ourselves to it, we become his children. We don't have to go back and become his children all over again when we sin. You remember Simon was told simply to repent and pray and he could have forgiveness because he had already been baptized. He was already a child of God. So we don't go back and cover the ground that we've just covered. We continue on and we strengthen ourselves. Our faith continues to grow and to develop. This idea of meat and milk that the Scripture talks about in Hebrews. We need to leave the first principle to go on unto perfection. Be able to take meat, not just milk. As we think about handling aright the word of truth, we need to understand and need to accept the Scripture at face value. Just simply let the Bible mean what it says. God revealed what we need. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. That which was a mystery has now been revealed. And he said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other ages, not made known to sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us by his holy apostles and prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 talks about the secret things belong to the Lord. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. And he concludes that verse by saying that we may do all the words of this law. The things that have been revealed are for our benefit. Some things we don't know about. And we won't ever know about. Until we enter into that heavenly realm, the spirit realm with God. Then we'll know some things we don't know about here. And we understand that many can't seem to grasp just the simple truth. Many times people want to look for something deeper and they miss the entire point. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, "As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built it up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Then he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you or make prey of you," the newer translations say, "through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We have to be very careful lest we allow those who are looking for something beyond what has been revealed, they make prey of us. They take us captive. False teachers often use more difficult passages to prove their position. They approach difficult scriptures in a way that is not really in harmony with the will of God. I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and read verses 14 through 17. "Wherefore, brethren, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him, of him, in peace, without spot and blameless. And account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." Now Peter admits that Paul wrote some things that are hard to understand. There's some things in Romans, that some principles in that book that are very difficult to understand. It takes a great deal of study and meditation. And then sometimes we don't understand fully some of the concepts that Paul deals with. But notice what Peter said here in regard to those things that Paul wrote. He said, "They that are unlearned and unstable rest or twist these scriptures, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction." We can twist or try to make the scripture say something that it was never intended to say. So we need to be very careful. We need to approach difficult scriptures with open minds. Don't try to make them say more than what they actually say. We cannot accept views that are contradictory to other plain passages. Scripture doesn't contradict itself. And so if one passage seems to contradict another passage, we just know that our understanding is not particularly correct in regard to one of those passages. We also don't need to let prejudice bind us. We can be blinded by prejudice. If we make decisions without fair treatment of all evidence, also we blind ourselves to the truth. He wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they should all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Do we understand that God will allow us to believe a lie? Some do not understand the Bible. But obviously the fault is not God's, nor the Bible. Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, verse 14 beginning, he said, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive.
For this people's heart is waxed gross, and the ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with the ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. We can allow our ears to be stopped. We can stop them ourselves. Someone made the statement, there are none so blind as those who will not see. We can decide within our own heart that we're not going to try to understand. We're not going to give the scriptures a fair hearing. We're going to try to look for something deeper instead of just what is plainly taught in scripture. We just have to understand that if we do not understand scripture, it's not God's fault. It's not the Bible's fault. It's my fault. I just have to spend more time with the Word of God. And as I study the Word of God, I need to let the Bible interpret itself. I can understand difficult passages in light of passages that are clearer to me so that I can understand them better. As we noted earlier, the Bible has milk and meat. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. He says, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Notice that phrase, having their senses exercised. That involves work on our part in making sure that we do our best to understand the scripture. We need to go on from milk. He said, milk is for babies. We understand that babies don't continue to just live on milk. They progress to the point that they're able to digest solid food. When we enter the kingdom of God, we're born in the family of God. We're born as babes. And Jesus says, as newborn babes. Or Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As Jesus talks about this new birth in John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. We're born into the family of God by spiritual birth. We are babes in Christ. But we don't stay there. We continue to grow and to develop. We understand that some passages are more difficult. We've already noted that. When Peter talks about Paul, writing some things that are difficult to understand. We don't isolate scripture so as to form a contradiction. Because, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, God's not the author of confusion. The Bible is not written to confuse people.
Wow.
It's not contradictory. It is in perfect harmony from beginning to end. And so we must be diligent in harmonizing doubtful passages with ones that are more readily understood. What I'm suggesting to you is that the most important attitude is a willingness to study for ourselves. As Paul commended the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11. He said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily to see if those things taught were so. And so I urge you, as you listen to a presentation from me or from any other gospel preacher, take notes. Go home. Read your Bible. Find out if what was taught was actually true. We understand that others may be helpful in our understanding of Scripture. In Acts the 8th chapter, there, verse 31, when Philip went down there and joined himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian, he found him reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he asked of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man. He wanted to know who Isaiah was talking about. But Philip asked him, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Well, does that mean that I can't understand scripture without some human intervention? I don't think that's the case at all. Scripture can be understood, but at times it is helpful for others to be a guide for us, those who have digested the milk of the Word and now digesting the meat of the Word, those who have grown and developed and have a good understanding of Scripture can be of great benefit to us. I remember as a young preacher talking with one of the elders in the church where I began my full-time preaching career. He was an older man, older than I. He had children almost as old as I was. He had spent a great deal of time studying and meditating on Scripture, and he was of great benefit to me in my work, in my study of Scripture. Does that mean I can't understand Scripture without someone? No. It just means it's helpful sometimes for one who has spent their life in study of Scripture and are able to convey Scripture. They can help us in our understanding. But ultimately, we must think for ourselves. Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse 17, if any man will do his will. Let that one sink in for just a moment. If any man will do his will, that involves the idea of having a determination, a mindset that wants to do the Lord's will. And listen to what Jesus said. He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether I speak of myself. If you really want to know what God's will is, Jesus said you can know it. But you can't look at it with the rose-colored glasses and know what God's will is. You have to look at it without prejudice. Allow it to speak directly to you and do your best to understand exactly what it says. Now I want you to think about this idea of the tools of the devil. Beware of the tools of the devil. I won't go through these rather briefly because we don't have time to go into detail on all these, but there are people that want to just express their own personal opinion. And they make statements, I know the Bible says this, or this is what I think. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 13. The Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood. Why? Because they walked after the imagination of their own heart and after Balaam that their fathers taught them. I'll feed them with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. You understand how fruitless it is to walk after the imagination of our own heart. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 and 9 said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways are my thoughts than your thoughts. The only way we can comprehend God's will is by reading what he has revealed to us. That's all we can know about God, is what he has revealed. And so my personal opinion really has no bearing whatsoever in regard to what's truth and right. Then there's the idea of worldly wisdom. You hear people say, well, Dr. So-and-so, and they call people's name and say, well, he said this. He's educated and he ought to know. Well, does that mean that I shouldn't consult the works of educated men? I don't think that's the idea at all. But the Apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning there at verse 18. He said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after than the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by foolishness of preaching to save them to believe." Preaching what? Preaching the message that God has revealed. God chose that method to save those who believe. Those who are wise beyond themselves will cause us to be lost. We can't depend on worldly wisdom. We have to depend on what the Word of God says. Then there's the idea of ecclesiasticism. People make the observation, well, my church or our church teaches this or that and the other. And so, what does that prove? The religious leaders of Jesus' time rejected him. These religious leaders were actually the ones who literally put Jesus to death. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man to walk it, to direct his steps." As Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning there at verse 2. He said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away the ears from truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Paul told Timothy there was a time coming when people would not listen to sound doctrine. Just because some religious leader says this is what you need to believe doesn't mean that that's what you ought to believe. There are those who follow human creeds. They'll say the catechism, and the catechism is simply a summary of religious doctrine. The catechism or my creed says this or that. The doctrine of men is what causes religious division. In Matthew chapter 15 to verse 7, Jesus said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy to you, saying, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Proverbs 14 to verse 12, we mentioned earlier, "There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We need to be careful in listening to what men say. And we have inherited traditions. And not all traditions are bad. We have traditions in our worship assemblies. Not bad traditions, but we start at the same time every Sunday. We start at the same time Sunday afternoon. We start at the same time Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening. And to some degree, that's a tradition. Most churches of Christ began their worship assemblies somewhere between 9:30 and 10 o'clock. Now, there are some. A church I worked with in Sunnyside, Washington, started at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon and had a long service, just one service. And some churches are going to just one long service. That's not necessarily sinful. It's not according to, quote, traditions, unquote, that have arisen among brethren. Some suggest that it has been traditional to sing two songs, have a prayer, and then have another song, and then a sermon. It's not necessarily sinful. There's some of the traditions that the scribes and Pharisees had that were not necessarily sinful. But they allowed their traditions many times to take precedence over what the scripture said. We have inherited tradition. People say, "My parents believed this." And if it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. I had an aunt. Told me, she said, I'm a Baptist. My mother was a Baptist. I'm a Baptist, and I'll die a Baptist. And she did. She didn't have a clue why. She just knew that's what her mother was. That's what she's going to be. And that has permeated our society. We must understand that we have to answer for ourselves. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, Paul says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm not going to give an account for my parents. I'm not even going to give an account for my wife or my children. Every one of them have to give an account for themselves to God. You can't give an account for me, and I can't give an account for you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It doesn't matter what my children believe. It doesn't matter what my parents believe. What matters is that I believe the Word of God. Now, if they believe that, that's fine. That's great. I'm thankful that my parents were faithful Christians. My grandparents were. On either side. None of my aunts and uncles, none of my cousins were faithful Christians. But I'm not a Christian. I'm not a member of the Church of Christ today because my parents were. Yes, their teaching influenced me. But so did the teaching of a lot of other people. But the main thing that influenced me was the Word of God. I studied it for myself. I had to come to an understanding of what the Word of God said. And do what it said because the Word of God said so. That's the reason I did what I did. Not because of inherited tradition. But there's also the idea of convenience. Just believe what you want to. We're all headed for the same place. And that's the idea of probably the biggest majority of the religious world today. You go your way and I'll go my way and we'll both end up in the same place. Well, that ain't so. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Some religious people. He depicts the judgment scene. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name cast out devils? Thy name done many wonderful works? They claimed they were doing this by the authority of Christ. Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They were not working according to the law of Christ. It doesn't matter if that's what everybody believes. Popularity is not going to save us. Majority believe this. Well, doesn't matter if the majority believe this. You remember in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus talks about two different ways. A narrow way and a broad way. The way to the narrow way is a restricted gate. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way leads unto life. And he said, few there be that find it. We're not ever going to be in the majority. God's people are never going to be in the majority. The broad way has a wide gate. And he said, many there be which go in thereat. So if it's what everybody believes, we might ought to stop and examine, see if it's the truth or not. Because if it's what everybody believes, then it's probably wrong. What we're suggesting is that we need to properly evaluate the importance of truth. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 said, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. We need to give up anything and everything for truth. Obey it. Refuse to part with it. For any price. Desire truth. then you can be rewarded. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Our reward comes from God, not from man. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's the only infallible guide we have, the word of God. And Jesus said, John 8 and verse 32, the truth will make you free. We need to handle the truth with respect, with reverence. We need to be willing to obey it. Paul said to the Romans, Romans chapter 6, beginning there at verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, a servant ye are, to whom ye obey, whether sin or death, of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, whereas you were the servant of sin, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, or that system of teaching, which will deliver you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Being then made free from sin. When? When you obeyed from the heart that system of teaching, that form of doctrine. That's what makes us free from sin. So we must not presume that God will accept anything other than obedience to the truth. Presumptuous sins are those that overstep proper bounds of God's word. David said in Psalm 19 verse 3, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Some we have to guard against at all times. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. Remember what Samuel said to Saul. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It makes a difference whether we accept what God says without alteration. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Paul said, our marvel, you shall soon remove from him, called in grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preach any other thing other than what's already been preached, let it be accursed. He emphasizes that again. As we said before, so say I now again. If anybody preaches anything other than what's already been preached, he's accursed. 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Revelation forbids us adding to the word of God. If we add to, the plagues are written in that book going to be added to us. If we take away from it, our name is going to be taken out of the Lamb's book of life. Handling aright the word of truth. God's word is everlasting. It's unchangeable. It is the standard by which we will be judged. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, and John chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus said, he that rejected me and received not my words, that's one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. God's word is going to judge us. So, question arises, how am I handling the word of truth? Am I searching for truth with a mind ready to obey it? Are you willing to obey the truth without reservation? To believe Jesus Christ will be the Son of God? To repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and then to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, so the Lord will then add you to His church and be part of His family? If you have done that and you realize that you haven't served Him faithfully, as Revelation 2 verse 10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give the crown of life. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It takes patient perseverance in serving the Lord faithfully. If you've not done that, we'd urge you to think very seriously about the condition of your soul. If you need to make things right in the sight of God today, as a child of God, you can repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you. We'll pray with you and for you. The Lord will forgive you. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.